Hey everybody, Pete Kluzak here, Bass University TV, and I am here with the champ, Casey Scanlon, fresh off your win on the FLW Tour on my favorite lake in the world, Lake Champlain.
And my new favorite lake.
I bet it is your new favorite lake. It's pretty awesome up there. Awesome to get the win, isn't it?
It is, man. Feel big relief to get it off my back. Been fishing for, you know, full time for 8 years now, and been close several times. So it's nice to get the job done.
Yeah, and you got it done in style.
Yeah.
Catching them the exact way that I said the tournament wouldn't be won, by going down to Ticonderoga, but the lake. If you guys follow the tournament trail, that time of year in June, it's usually won up north on those spawning smallmouth.
Right.
But you didn't do that.
No, man, everybody had the floggers on their boat, looking down at the big smallmouth. I had never been to Champlain, didn't know much about it, so that probably benefited me a lot. I went down to Ty knowing I needed a big derby to make the Forestwood Cup. I was on the outside looking in. I figured that I needed probably a top 12 to even have a chance at the cup. And so I went down to Ty the first day, and they were chewing and caught some big ones and felt like I didn't really have it dialed in yet, but I knew the right ones were there. Went up north, and again, after seeing the size of largemouth, I practiced up north for largemouth pretty much exclusively, and size wasn't there, so returned to Ty on the third day of practice and kind of figured out how to catch them.
Yeah, well, that was the interesting part, and we were just chatting a little bit before we started filming, and I think the big thing which separated you from the field was adjusting to the falling water conditions. And that's what we're gonna talk about right now with Casey, is how to do that. A lot of you guys are facing that. We've had rain.
Absolutely.
Nonstop, right? And that rain has kind of stopped and water levels are falling.
Yep.
They're falling all over the country. And they were falling at Champlain because the lake, when we were looking at it a week before the tournament, it was like 7 feet above normal pool.
Yeah. Coming into the tournament, I kind of kept an eye on some of the water levels, and it being a natural lake, it probably doesn't. I don't know where the water goes. Honestly, I don't know how fast it falls, but
it actually it goes north. Believe it or not,
right?
It goes north to the St. Lawrence River and then out to the ocean.
Yeah. So I mean, it was one of those deals that the water was falling out, and all of us are going to be faced with that here around the country in the next few weeks, I believe. I mean, all our lakes around Missouri are high, so basically, those fish repositioned every day, and like you said, I mean, without a doubt, that was the key to me winning that tournament, was being able to, kind of get some of the right bites, get a clue as to what the fish were doing, and just move with them.
All right, first day. The water's at its highest.
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so what was that strategy when the water was at its peak?
Now, when it was at its peak, you couldn't see the grass as well, couldn't see the grass edges as well, and those fish were pushed up using available shoreline cover. The rocks, the current breaks, points were a real big deal. A lot of those fish were hanging out around the points, and I think they were moving, out of those backwaters and bays, getting out on the main lake, and they were just kind of using, whether it was a log, a boat dock, or just the rocks themselves, they were up there on the bank. And
did you have current? Like, could you visibly
I could.
See current?
Yeah, when I got around the points, I could definitely see current, and I was throwing a little 3/16 ounce Lucky Strike Pal stick, just a soft stick bait worm, and with that 3/16 ounce weight, I'd throw it out there on the points, and it would just kind of tick along the bottom.
Drifted down.
So it was a good deal, and that current slacked off, it seemed like, and it could have been wind direction or whatever, but that first day when the current was the strongest, the fish were up on the bank and chewing on those rocks.
Okay, and you caught them on the stick bait. Did you said a square bill too?
Yeah, I used a Lucky Strike Series 3 square bill. My mainstay the whole tournament was pretty much vibrating jig. Weighed in majority of my fish on that, but each day I weighed in fish on either the worm. The first day I weighed some on the square bill, I caught fish every day but the third day on a Trophy Bass Company half ounce swim jig. But without a doubt, when I pulled up to a place, I'd throw the vibrating jig first, just as a matter of covering water, and it was getting the right bites.
Yeah, and we were talking about this, and this was kind of awesome, really. You were throwing a chatterbait, like that isn't made anymore.
Yeah, it was like the original yellowed packaging, like sat on a store shelf way too long kind of deal. Got them on clearance 10 years ago, and they're still in a tackle box. And that was the one that used in practice. You know, of course, we ordered some more with nicer hooks and everything, but it was the bronze hook edition, no keeper, you know, to keep your plastic from sliding off. It was
they haven't seen that one for a while.
They haven't, and it's a good bait. And I was actually taking those old skirts. I lost a few of the ones that I was having confidence in, and I would take those old nasty skirts and thread them on the new ones. You know, I wanted everything to be the same. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, that old nasty vibrating jig was working for me.
Man, it's a great tool. Certainly a great tool for largemouth on Champlain. You got a good bag day one, in the books. Now next day when you show up, did you notice right away the water level had dropped or?
It took me a minute to really realize I immediately noticed the current had slowed.
Okay.
And I'm going to places that, you know, I fished multiple times the day before, and you could, you know, you could catch fish there if you wanted to. You know, it's one of those deals, you pull up, catch two or three, and at the time I had a good bag, so I didn't really lean on them. So I'm coming into those places the second day, you know, having confidence that I'm gonna throw out there on these same points and catch fish. And when it's not happening, you know, and you got making a long run, you got a real short window to make those adjustments. And so, you know, I focused on the areas I practiced in, that I found fish in, and I just kind of relocated those fish every day. And so I kind of slowed down a little bit and, you know, just started fan casting that vibrating jig around. And I was fortunate enough to get those clues. You know, as fishermen, we're always looking for the clue to kind of send you in the right direction. And I was able to kind of stay loose on the water, and I got some of those clues to let me know what they were doing. And so, you know, the second day in particular, a key moment was I just saw one shad skip out there by a clump of grass, out off the bank, you know. And I had thrown at a lot of that stuff in practice, not got bites. I seen a shad skip out there, I throw out with the vibrating jig, and I catch three in a row. And so
that's a pretty good clue.
Yeah, absolutely. and that little spot right there ended up being pretty key for me too. It was just one of the main points I was fishing, had a nice little isolated piece of grass out there amongst a big grass bed. But it kind of made a little curve in the grass right there, and made a little point. And I think what was happening was that, you know, they slid out from that point and started using that isolated patch of grass, and the current was hitting it just right. And so that was a big spot for me. Days two and three, I could count on at least getting a couple bites there.
And now it was day two and three. Now the rocks are gone, right? The points are done.
I'm fishing them, I'm trying them, and I've got a lot of places that I have confidence in from practice.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying mentally to just tell myself that you just got to get away from that.
Pack your bags.
It's not working. You got a couple hours to get it done.
Yep.
You know, stick with what's getting bites. And so that is what I forced myself to do the entire tournament. Even though I had, you know, a stretch of rocks or a couple of points down the river that I wanted to fish, you know, as I would get those clues, I'd try to take some of that stuff out of my mind and just focus on what was going on right now.
Right. And that was a clue you saw. And this is key, guys. Like, you know, not, you said it. At practice, you didn't get bites off of those clumps.
No.
But noticing the shad, noticing the water level drop, you made the cast. So days two and three, you're out there. You're fishing the isolated clumps.
Yeah, inside grass lines became key. You know, they just slid off that rock. We're using that inside grass line. So there was a couple inside grass edges that were, you know, really good to me. And I started just kind of patterning that. You know, I had some areas where I was getting bites, and I would just run those inside grass lines for those first couple days, or for the second and third day. And man, it produced a ton of bites, and that chatterbait bite started getting really good.
Nice. Now, it continued to fall, the lake level.
It's falling every day, yeah.
And now on day four, what happened on day four?
Day four, I show up to, you know, that point with the little isolated piece of grass out there that's just guaranteed a fish, you know, the last few days.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Inside grass line, all around my little area, nothing. So I've got a couple other places I've been running and catching a few fish. So I pulled up the trolling motor, went to a few areas that you know, featured that same kind of inside grass line. They're a little bit further back off the main river, and I think they were just, you know, just some fish kind of hanging out in some of those backwaters still, but they're utilizing that inside edge. And I go over there and I can notice it's real shallow. Water's getting shallow. And start throwing down that outside edge. And there's just a real narrow strip of it right there where I'm fishing. So bombing down that inside, not getting much. Throw out the outside, catch two, you know, right away. And you know, bounced around a few other spots. My main objective was kind of let that main area rest a little bit. I had a lot of confidence in it. And I was gonna come back and try to visit it later. And the more water I started running and kind of not getting some bites, you know, I started just working that outside line. And at this time, I'm kind of putting it together. I can see the grass is starting to top out a little bit more. I can really tell that the water has dropped. And I'm starting to see, again, more shad activity out. You know, those shad are moving out and those fish are moving with them. So I went over to another area, threw on that outside grass line. There's one little point in the grass there that had produced a few bites for me. And so I backed out that outside grass line and first cast, 4.5, 5 pounder, my biggest fish of the fourth day. And from that point on, I think I caught another one shortly after, you know, and I got filled my limit out on that place. You know, had definitely had a few fish that I needed to get rid of, but I just focused on that outside edge again. You know, I had to kind of readjust. It was one of those deals, you get all this in your head from practice and prior tournament days. They're right here doing this. And you know, I spend a lot of time guiding. And the more time I spend on the water guiding and just watching others fish, I mean, these fish move around all the time. And when I'm on a guide trip and they're not biting, you got to get these guys on fish now, right? So I used kind of that same approach to this tournament. You know, if they weren't showing me, and the fish are biting good. So, you know, if they weren't, you know, if I wasn't getting bites, I was changing.
That's excellent. Adjusting to conditions. And I guide and teach too. And I find that it's so... That helps me a lot, doing exactly what you're doing, being able to make those decisions, because a lot of guys will get out, and especially in a tournament situation, and you tighten up. You have a tendency to go fish where you got bites at practice and not fish with an open mind, and you had to fish with an open mind, because that water level, the places where you were killing them, there was no water there, and the bite was gone, and you had to make that adjustment from the bank and the rocks to the inside edge, all the way to the outside edge, collect the big trophy.
That's it. And you know, and even when we filmed the final day five, which we go out on the water afterwards, try to show everybody what's going on, it dropped even more. And you know, I had gotten one, maybe two frog bites the whole tournament, but I guarantee you, during that day five, I mean, that grass was topped out all over the river, and it would have been, it's getting ready to be, you know, changing again. It's gonna be frog time.
For sure. Well, that was an amazing win, and I know our guys watching this are going to be really appreciate that lesson on how to adjust to falling water conditions. But I want to dive in a little deeper on the bait. You're using an old school chatterbait. Did you do anything to trick it out? What kind of trailer were you using? That kind of stuff.
Not a whole lot to trick it out. You know, I would put super glue on there, obviously, because it. You know,
skirts
everything's
falling down.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's falling down. Skirt, bait, trailer, all that. So, but you know, I use two different kinds of trailers, and really, I just kind of used whichever one a pike hadn't bitten off at the time. But I just kept switching it up because I was fishing in a lot of the same areas. So, but white and chartreuse was the color. I used a Lucky Strike, Lucky Swim, swim bait trailer on one of them, and the other was just a white fluke style trailer. Both the trailers were white, and you know, basically I'd throw it out there, try to get it in some of the grass and just kind of, you know, slowly rip it out of there. Whether, you know, I tried to use my reel handle more than anything to kind of pop that bait free. And, but you know, in that heavier grass, you'd have to, you know, pop it with your rod tip. But it seemed to be, you know, just like, you know, whenever we're fishing grass with crankbait or any kind of reaction bait, when you clean the bait from the grass and get it free from there and make that erratic action, that's when they get it.
Yeah. Well, are you using braid? Are you using fluoro? What are you using?
Yeah, my setup was a 7'6", medium heavy, moderate action rod. So I had a long rod, Bass Pro Shops titanium 8 rod, I believe. And then I had 6:8:1 gear ratio reel. Johnny Moore's signature series, 20 pound, or actually on the chatterbait, it was 17 pound XPS fluorocarbon. That's pretty much what I throw on a lot of my moving baits, whether it's a square bill or, you know, a chatterbait or something like that. You know, when I'm power fishing shallow, you know, that's usually 15 to 20 pound line is what I'm using on those moving baits.
Right, right. Well, it's once again, great win, old school chatterbait. I love it. Adjusting to conditions, learning how to adjust the falling water. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on, Pete.
Hey, thanks very much for being here with us. That's Casey Scanlon, the FLW champ from Lake Champlain. I'm Pete Gluzek. This is Bass University TV.
Head over to bassu.tv, the premier learning destination in bass fishing. Over 600 in-depth videos geared to help you catch more and bigger bass. Use the promo code BASSULIVE19 for 10 days free. That's BASSULIVE19 to get BASSU TV free for 10 days. Get the Bass University advantage today.